welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout, we know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello and welcome back to OK Sis Podcast. My name is Mads.
Didn't even tell me you hit record there, and that just hit me like a wave of energy. Hi, Mads. I am Scout, your sister, and this is the podcast where we chat about all sorts of unhinged things, all sorts of pop culture, mental health, business, personal development. But you guys already know that because the sisterhood.
Okay, you're the sisterhood. But let's say we have a new sister.
Whoa,
a new sister coming into
the mix. What an honor!
Hello, what an honor.
Mazel tov to us.
Seriously.
Mazel tov to them too.
Mazel tov to you. You're fucking in the sisterhood. Welcome.
Mazel tov to all of us.
Let's revisit our brand pillars.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Number one, sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Number two, mental health. Number three, pop culture. Number four, female entrepreneurship.
That's it? We only have four?
You're only supposed to have four as per Jessica Zweig's B book, okay, Scout?
Uh-huh.
Yes. You're only supposed to have four. Other ones would dilute the brand.
You're right. The brand, yeah, you're right. It is only four. I'm picturing the diagram that she has in her book, and you're correct.
So everything we speak and say will probably fall into one of those four categories. If you like those four categories, you'll like us. Welcome.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I'm bombarded by the the advertisement, by the brand summarization.
It's just been a hot minute. We have to remind people of like where we stand, what our brand ethos is, like what we care about and value. And that's, you know, that's what we stand for.
And everybody get ready because Mads and I are in the same room together, which really rarely happens. Yeah. Actually, we've only seen each other a couple times in the last 6 months, which is absolutely
so fucking
insane. So
it's also a good testament to our audio quality because,
well, we figured out how to do it. We figured that shit out. Remember?
We're smart.
Remember
ladies.
First week of quarantine? We were fucked when it came to the audio. We couldn't figure it out. It was the most confusing thing, as if remote podcast recording was like not a thing.
I know.
It was a thing. It was a thing before quarantine.
Yeah. I remember before quarantine, we wouldn't do remote recordings because we used to put the microphone up to the phone.
That was on the computer speaker.
Oh God, we were noobs, but now we are seasoned podcasters.
We are on the Podcast Nation Network, and sisters, we have two major announcements. Do not skip through this. This is going to very severely pertain to you.
Oh,
I wouldn't say severely.
Wow,
I would just say impactfully in a really an expansive and an exciting way. I didn't mean to use such a harsh word.
Okay.
So Mads and I have been doing OK Sis Pod for 3.5 years, we have decided to switch it up a little bit. So we know that you have been listening to us solo for, you know, the majority of the episodes. We bring on amazing guests about half the time, but we have really decided to try a new structure out. So for the next couple months, we're going to experiment, see how it goes. Let us know how you feel. We are going to be theming our months and bringing on guest experts within that theme. So for example, April is coming up next week. Our first theme month is going to be around spiritual readings. So we have an astrologer coming in to give me and Mads an astrology reading. We have a human design reading, and we have an intuitive coach giving us an intuitive reading. And so with that, we're kind of concentrating that type of content for April. And then in May, we're going to have one all around finances, money mindset, budgeting,
money mindfulness,
etc. And then that's all we've planned out. You know, it's like 2 months ahead, but expect maybe a sexual wellness month.
Oh, I also want to do a creator month. I want to do like a TikTok heavy one. If you guys have suggestions, be sure to submit them into our Geneva Community Center. You can find that in the show notes. That's like where our community hub gathers. If you have any suggestions or like certain guests that you want to see on OK Sis, and then we can kind of organize the month around that person.
Yeah.
You know, we're super open, but we wanted to get a little, you know, we're all about the structure here, LOL JK.
It's more of 3.5 years of Maddie begging for structure.
Yes.
And you want to know what? I gave it to you, and you're still fucking complaining today. You're still nitpicking my structure.
Yeah.
That I finally delivered.
You know what?
You haven't even delivered it. I delivered it.
Okay, well, the structure is going to continue on, and yeah, so we're going to theme the months. I think I'm really excited for this. We're going to breathe some new life into the podcast.
And I feel like it's going to be very tangible resources, yes, ways for you guys to take things and implement them into your own life. But we also know that with resource episodes, with theming months, that means a little bit of a decrease in solo unhinged episodes. So Mads and I have decided, drum roll, please. Oh my god, that's a nice bowl. That's a glass bowl. We are going to be we're launching a Patreon.
Patreon, motherfuckers! Okay. It's been, okay, literally, like, how many years has it been that we've... Okay. We are finally joining Patreon, okay? It has been 3.5 years of this podcast, and we are finally becoming official podcasters and getting a Patreon to give, to deliver you premium,
additional,
exclusive,
bonus,
additional, yummy, value-packed episodes a month.
Yes. So this is what's going to happen in the Patreon. We have one tier. What's that TikTok sound? I got one vibe, one look. I got two looks.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Homeless boy and a stripper. Yeah, so and a hooker.
We actually just have one look.
Homeless boy.
Okay, we're not there. We're not there. Well, that's accurate. So the first tier, or one, the only tier that we are currently offering, maybe if we feel compelled, we'll add in a little monthly Zoom meeting. Let us know. But for now, we have only one tier. And for $5 a month, you get two extra bonus episodes solo of me and Mads. We're probably going to use those two episodes to talk more about our personal lives, maybe bring on our dad, maybe our partners, kind of get into the Mads and Scout world a little bit more. So if you love our unhinged solo episodes, join the Patreon to get those. It'll be the first and the third Thursday of every month that those will come out. And then, since we're going to be doing these resource episodes on our Patreon every Monday, you will also get a mini recap. So for example, next week, we will have on our intuitive, we're doing an intuitive coach healing session. After that, Mads and I are going to record a mini episode about our reactions to the information, what we're taking with us, etc. So not only will you receive two bonus episodes every month, you'll also receive mini recap episodes about the resource main episodes. How do you talk about the difference? Like a main episode and a Patreon episode?
We need to figure out what is, maybe Patreons will be like sessions.
So,
or like little listening snippets.
Okay.
I don't know.
So you'll get
we
got to rebrand it. So you will get 5 to 6 new pieces of bonus content over at Patreon for $5 a month. You can go to patreon.com/okcasespodcast to sign up. And we, of course, will leave it in the show notes.
Yeah.
We'll leave it in the Geneva Community Center.
Maybe you'll see a vlog on there.
Oh, shit.
Maybe you'll see a little vlog.
Oh, you know. I did buy a nice camera. You've seen it.
Yes. Yeah. We're leveling up over here, left and right.
Leveling up. So if you sisters want more from me and Mads, you know where to find us for that bonus episode content on Patreon.
Fan-fucking-tastic. All right, let's get into our current fixations.
Okay, so my current fixation is an Instagram account.
Wow.
It is goodnews_movement.
Okay.
And it is basically...
Sounds great.
It's... phenomenal. It's an Instagram account that basically serves you good news that's happening around the world.
Okay, we like that.
They either repost a reel that's like a mother and a son reuniting after a couple years, or you know, someone surprising their grandma at their party, or someone buying a homeless person food and then sitting with them and eating it. Like,
oh, wow.
There's just, it's so heartwarming. It's the account that makes you cry in a good way. Like every time I watch a reel on Good News Movement, I just tear up, because I think in today's world, it's enough with all of the negativity, and it's enough with all the tragedy that's happened. And those things are really real. And we get to really acknowledge how good humanity really is. And this Instagram account just highlights how good humanity is. One of my friends and I were talking over dinner, and she's like, oh, first thing I do in the morning, because I just can't handle the world and the pandemic and this, and like, it's just a lot. She says the first thing she does is go to Good News Movement in the morning and watch one of their reels, because I think we do need to be reminded that love is a lot more prevalent than fear and tragedy and evilness and all of those things. Love runs so much more rampant than we think it does, because we're not being served content that is surrounded by those incredible love-filled, humanity-filled moments. And so Good News _ Movement, a must follow.
Wow. Okay, I'm definitely going to be following that. That sounds fantastic. I've posted about this in the Geneva before. I struggle with news consumption.
What do you mean? I don't do it.
I know. And it's hard because I want to be an informed citizen of the world.
Let me tell you. Okay, how? Well, okay. Like 95% of that informedness that I know, you need to be literally fucks you and does not help the world in any way.
So, okay. Well, so yeah, I've posted about this in Geneva. I was like, how do people consume news without just literally feeling like shit? Like I can't listen to the Daily. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people who listen to this listen to the Daily and really love it. I don't know, something about it just still gets me really sad. And again, like the sadness is okay. Like there's obviously things we need to be informed about.
It's fucked up that they don't put in the good stuff. Exactly. Come on, guys. Exactly.
So I think I'm just going to commit myself to like reading The Skim because they do a really good way of their tone of voice. Obviously they're respectful with the news, but their tone of voice inserts some humor into delivering the news. And so I've struggled with that a lot. So I'm going to read that.
Also, because we're on social media, there's no way that you're not going to know about something extremely important.
Right, exactly.
So when I see something extremely important, I go and I research it if it feels like I need to know about it.
Sure.
Because people are reposting it, you know, like everything that's going on, whatever. So in my opinion, like I'll know what I need to know about, the main things, mm-hmm. and then I can choose whether or not I get to go and research it and feel a certain level of informed that makes me feel like a person in the world.
Speaking of news, we need to state a correction from our last episode. We spoke ad nauseum about Kylie Jenner's baby wolf. And then the literal second we dropped that episode, she decided to post on Instagram and say,
I think she did that it. Baby I think she did it because of our no episode. Longer. Like 100%. I think she heard our 100%. Episode and she thought, ooh, she was like, oh, actually, shit, like that doesn't sound good.
No. I think she listened to it and was like, oh wait, fuck, like I didn't tell the world that like it wasn't wolf.
Now,
like
okay, sis and now I'm gonna say it, yeah, it.
Like I like need to make sure they know. Like
sorry, Kylie. We didn't ask you first.
I'm you know, so I just wanna backtrack. I got so many DMs of that story, people sending me that story, and I'm like, we are aware. The baby's name is no longer Wolf. So I still love that name.
We don't know the new
name. We don't know the new baby name. I don't think she has a name yet.
I'll bet you in 6 months' time, bunch of new fucking babies named Wolf.
Because you think like they already named them?
Well, no, because now that Kylie Jenner isn't using it, it's not Jenner's name, but she's implemented it into the baby name zeitgeist.
Oh.
And she is a tastemaker and an influencer. So people,
that she is.
So people are going to be like, oh, yes. You know, like no one can name their kids Stormy, but now we can name them Wolf.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean?
I see it. I enjoy that name a lot. So I'm excited to see what the name is. I'm sure it'll be equally as cute. Mm-hmm. Okay. My current fixation. Sisters, you know that I am a romance novel fiend. It's part of my brand pillars. If you ever wanted to know my brand pillars, I'll say them right now. Camber / female entrepreneurship. Okay, sis, / female entrepreneurship, and natural wine and romance novels. Oh, sweatsuits also. Sweatsuit enthusiasts. Those are like my core personality traits. I don't really exist outside of any of that.
Mine are female entrepreneurship, i.e. Scouts Agency and OKSIS podcast.
Oh, sure. I should have grouped that in one. There we go.
The second one is mental health because I live with a mental illness.
Do you ever?
Yeah.
It's not great. Actually, I think it's great. I think it's good.
It is.
You've learned a lot from it.
Thank you. The third one is podcasting specifically.
Okay, sure.
And then just because it's a part of my career now. And then the fourth one is spirituality.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, great.
And all black outfits.
Yeah, except you're wearing like all white right now. It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, if I don't wear black, it's a neutral situation. But I'm just going to go on the record and say that you can't really claim that you wear all black because I've literally never seen you in black in the last couple years.
Okay, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You're always in blue jeans and a white t-shirt.
What are you? What are you smoking? You know that I hate t-shirts. I'm not a t-shirt gal.
I just mean a white top.
Okay, a white sweater, a sweatshirt.
I'm just saying, you dabble in the neutral palette a lot more than I do.
100%. 100%.
Okay. But you know the hierarchy.
I just want to let everyone know that I'm not a jeans and white t-shirt gal. Like, I wish I was.
Yeah, but you wear like those when it's under the shoulder, what's it called?
What?
And it's like this. and it has like a little flowy thing here, but your shoulder's showing, you know, and it's flowy.
That, okay, I literally wore that one. Jesus Christ. I posed one off-the-shoulder white top, and Scout's like, you never wear a black.
You know what? I think you got a couple of those.
All right. Anyways. Okay. Let's get in.
Wait, what's your current fixation?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, I interrupted you. I apologize.
We went on a tangent. Oh, so, okay. Well, it's kind of twofold. One, you know, just something about me. I want to get your pulse on this. Do you ever get black spots in your eye? Like you see black spots?
Okay, are you talking...
I need to go to the doctor.
Wait, are you talking you're seeing black spots around the room? Or are you talking when you look in the mirror, you see a black spot in your eyeball?
No. Looking... When I look out and there are black spots.
Yeah, so I have a lot of things that I don't openly talk about because I think you would not believe me.
And
I have 24/7 aura. It's called aura.
The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. Whoa, what's
so
that?
So it's...
I got a, not an ophthalmologist, an ophthalmologist office.
Sounds good. Do you see
it's an eye surgery.
Like little black dots?
Okay, so it popped up about a month ago where when I'm reading and when sometimes when I'm looking on the computer, there is this black spot that comes in this corner, in the left bottom corner, and I can't read anymore because it literally distracts me from it. It's really, yeah, really tough. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to the doctor.
You either have a illness.
Oh, I mean, that's very possible.
Like a serious one.
That's very possible. Or it would explain a lot.
Or you have a form of migraines and headaches.
Nope. So it's the illness.
So but you can have eye straining that doesn't necessarily...
Oh, doesn't feel like a headache.
Okay. So I don't have a headache right now.
But you see black spots?
No, I see squiggly lines everywhere. And then I see light shadows of everything, like, all the time.
Oh, my God. We're so fucked up. Okay. So I need to go to the doctor because this has never happened to me.
But it makes sense. If you're reading and if you're on the computer, you're straining your eye.
Right. But why has this never happened to me?
Is this your current fixation, the black dot?
No. This is just something I want to share and get your opinion on.
Yeah, you got to go see an eye doctor.
We got to go see the doctor. Okay, so Ben told me that it's like a vitamin deficiency or something, like, or stress, very possible.
I think it's straining and stress.
Okay, great. Love that for me.
You probably just need certain types of glasses or something.
Sure, great. Anyways, so I haven't been reading a lot, so I'm really sorry for everyone. I haven't been posting that much on the Ticketed Talk in regards to reading. I have amped up the content, the volume of the content on TikTok. That's another perfect station of mine.
Are you reading on your iPad?
We're reading physical books, so that I don't look at screens.
God, I hate this so much.
Okay.
I got Malibu Rising from Taylor Jenkins Reid on my iPad because I just wanted to read it in that moment. I didn't want to Amazon it. And you just read faster on the fucking iPad and Kindle.
I know, we've talked about this.
It's so annoying, though. I don't want to admit it.
I know. We really oscillate between the physical and the e-reader.
Because you want the physical, but I literally read 10 pages of the physical in one sitting. On the iPad, I read 60 pages on a brisk Sunday morning.
Oh, we love that brisk
I'm like almost
Sunday.
Halfway through Malibu Rising, and I feel like I haven't even been reading it.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I like it so far.
Oh, good. I mean,
everything. I would never speak ill of TJR.
I mean, we need to release the essay that you sent her. We need to release it.
That's a great idea.
For the Patreon.
No.
We'll put it on the Patreon.
No, I thought we should put it on Reels and tag and have everyone tag TJR.
A live reading?
No, just put it up there.
A dramatic reading.
Everyone DMs it to TJR.
How do you put up an email on Reels? What are you talking about?
You'll put the photo and
like a green screen.
The green screen with the face.
And wait, then what everyone, the and you'd be like, okay.
Everybody needs to spam the fuck out of TJR because it can be done like this essay that I wrote TJR.
First of all, no, we need to gatekeep a little bit of this content. We're putting it in the Patreon first.
Okay.
Exclusive access to the TJR
let's
essay.
Let's just say that I spent all night crying about Daisy the Six and I woke up and Daisy and the Six and I woke up and I wrote TJR, the author, Taylor Jenkins Reid.
The sisterhood knows.
Essay and her assistant.
Her assistant was like, "You're a fucking."
No, her assistant's like, "She's not taking interviews right now." And I was like,
"That's a nice way of get the fuck out of my inbox.
You're not even gonna comment on my writing. Like, not even a comment on how beautiful my prose is in this email."
Oh my god, it was the best.
Okay, we'll post that
ever.
To Patreon.
Oh, we should also post the several emails the email thread you have with Bill Hader's assistant because it's just
dude.
It's
my
comical.
Email game is A+.
I mean, you're a follow-up gal if there is ever one.
Oh, yeah. Built my whole career on following up.
Yep. All right. Anyways, so back to my current fixation. Jesus.
This is the type of content you can expect in the Patreon.
Yeah, the unhingedness. Okay. I just have some romance novel recommendations for you. I posted a TikTok being like, I'm in a rut. I need some help. I hate book ruts. It's really, really difficult. It's a hard time for me. And I got a lot of recommendations. So the first one that was overwhelmingly recommended was the Bergman Brothers series. I think there's like 5 books. So I purchased that. And then also The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa. So I will be reading those and reporting back, but I just wanted to sprinkle in some romance novel recommendations for anyone who listens to OK Sis for those recs.
What's your current fixation?
The current fixation is getting back into romance novels and those 2 books.
Okay.
Just for Alyssa, our intern who's listening back and didn't catch that, that is the current fixation.
Okay. I mean, I didn't catch it, so there's no way she was going to catch it.
Okay, great. All right, so for this episode, I thought that it would be a splendid idea for me to ask Scout questions from the We're Not Really Strangers card deck. So if you're not familiar, We're Not Really Strangers.
Good job.
Is a fan fucking tastic Instagram account as well to follow. I'm sure you've seen it. They do incredible content with a lot of like mental health, self-care, going deep type of questions and posing questions in that way. And we should get the founder on the pod, side note. And if anyone wants to, everyone should subscribe to their email newsletter. It's not even an email newsletter. It's literally one sentence emails that she like sends to her email news, quote unquote, like subscribers. And they like pierce me in the soul. She's like, what did you do? Da da da. And then it like, it's, I don't know how to describe.
I don't want that.
Wait, I'm gonna do it.
I don't want to wake up and have an email that's like, what the fuck did you do?
No. I'm sorry. Wait, I'm not saying it right. Hold on.
Do my words pierce your soul?
Here we go. Here's one. You're not gonna like this, but ... Instead of getting mad at everyone else, think of the part that you play. What's your role in it? Think hard on this, besties. Okay, that was hard. Okay, you'll know if this email is for you. That's the subject. Okay, you're gonna literally open that, right? Look at what it is. Stop fucking your ex.
No, it's okay. Funny.
She has incredible shit like that.
That's
so
incredible.
I just
highlight your ex. Truly, like, that's a PSA for all, for everyone.
Oh, wait, look at this one. Is anyone else having a super anxious day? That's the subject line. This is the body text. Have you taken a deep breath yet? Okay, inhale. 1, 2, 3. Now exhale. 1, 2, 3. You are bigger than what is making you anxious. Aww. Just incredible little tidbits like that. So I thought that we would ask Scout. And I
should,
you know,
probably shorten my content because I deliver similar messages.
Yeah, yours are pretty long.
Do you read, like, my newsletter?
Look at this. Hello, this is your bestie speaking. That's the subject line. This is the body. Don't text them back. Like, she is just great. That is the email newsletter.
That's pretty good.
I think you need to shorten.
I can't.
You can shorten it to this.
It's not my vibe.
It's not my vibe.
I'm not going to send an email that says don't fuck your ex, although that is words to fucking live by, probably.
Those are incredible, like, words, like, to live by.
Anytime anyone fucks their ex, never a good situation.
Never a good situation. Don't fuck your ex.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so I compiled some questions, and here we go. I'll jump in a little bit, but everyone knows that Scout is the wise sister of us, so I think that she will have such much more profound answers, okay? What have you tolerated from people in the past that you no longer have space for?
Oh, so you don't want advice. You want me to share my shadows and...
Sure, but I think you have really great learnings that people can, that I can also learn
okay,
by.
Okay, read that right, one more time.
What have you tolerated from people in the past that you no longer have space for?
Opinions about the big decisions in my life.
Yes.
Opinions about the bigger, riskier things. I pretty much act regardless, but when I do something big, like buy a house or open an office or hire someone before the clients are there, or something that has me on the line, I know I'm going to do it, but mm-hmm. I feel as if I need someone to tell me that it's okay and to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And they never give you that because they're looking out for you and they're afraid. And so they tell you, they give you the safe answer, but that's never what you really deserve. And that's never, you should never live your life by the safe answer. But when you are at the precipice of taking a big leap, the ones that you love are going to try to keep you from not taking that leap because they don't want to see you in discomfort or fail. Mm. And so sometimes you have to take a leap without opinions. Like,
yeah. So when did that shift? When were you a victim to that? And then when did you say, fuck you, outside opinions, I'm going to choose what my gut is telling me?
When I realized that I couldn't make big life decisions without our dad's approval, because mm-hmm. I felt as if he didn't approve of a big move, then if it went wrong, he wouldn't be there to catch me if I fell.
Mm. Which is so not true.
And if you go a layer deeper, you know, if he said, yeah, I think you should do that, and it failed, I thought I could go to him and say, look, it failed. Help me pick up the pieces.
Sure.
And so that was a subconscious layer of protection. And it was also a subconscious layer of me not taking responsibility over my own life and knowing that if it fails, I can handle it anyways.
Yeah.
And so I stopped asking his opinion, not because I don't value his opinion and not because he's not an excellent source
giver.
Or an excellent source of emotional support for me, but because, and it has nothing to do with his opinions. It was more, I was outsourcing my complete responsibility. Mm-hmm. And not believing that I could really catch myself if I fell. And so now I make big decisions with the confidence that I can pick up the pieces.
It's because you realize that you can do hard things and you've been okay in the past if you were to fail. So therefore that gave you.
But it was also that I realized that I was outsourcing my security. So
what a use of the word outsourcing.
Yeah.
Really love that.
I was outsourcing my security. Okay. So I don't ask
now you
like, I have a friend who I call on business decisions. And I'll ask her about something, my friend Whitney of Get Super, and sometimes she'll disagree with me and say I shouldn't do that. But then she'll be like, wait a minute, what conversation are we having here? Like, do you want my opinion or do you want to fucking do this? Because if you want to fucking do this, like, go all out, girl. Like, do that. Do that exact thing. You know, so.
Yeah. Also normalize asking your friends what type of advice they want. This Tink says this a lot. And you actually said this. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you've been saying this before Tinks did. I'm just going to say that. But normalize asking a friend what support they need in that moment, because it's you're not a mind reader. And also, whether you want to admit it or not, when you're going to a certain friend, you're looking for a certain type of response or a thing. Do you want advice? Do you want someone to just confirm your feelings? Do you want them to give the opinion? Do you want them, you know, so
you want the reality check?
It's like
you want to just vent,
like literally asking your friend, hey, what do you want right now? Like, are you here just to vent right now? We're talking shit, or you want me to give some valid advice? And it's going to look different, and that way you can tailor the proper support. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, next one. What is one truth you've recently come to terms with?
I don't really know how to say it without giving, I suppose, a fuller picture, but one... Whoa, what the fuck was that? Someone just sounded like they jumped on our dad's roof, dude. Boy. I think it was just a slam door.
What the fuck?
Okay. That I'm young. I'm young. Mm-hmm. My youth. I'm not a kid.
It's gone.
I'm not a kid.
Yeah, you're no longer a teenager bat mitzvah.
Not just a teenager, like... I'm no longer the 23 or 24 year old who can go out all night and be carefree and make decisions that aren't like in their highest good for the next day. And I won't even eat a heavy meal at lunch anymore because I want to feel good, because I'll go into a food coma. Like I am very much settling into the fact, and it's difficult and it's beautiful, because this phase comes with so much stability and fulfillment and strength. And I love that. And I totally had a meltdown when I saw that Olivia Rodrigo turned 19, because like I wanted,
what the fuck?
I'll be honest.
Emma Chamberlain is not even 21.
I can't. I was done with my 20s, and I was so excited to enter my 30s. I was like, 20s are fucking terrible.
Sure.
And now that I'm out of them, I have a little bit of jealousy, because I feel as if your 20s are truly your last opportunity. And obviously everyone gets here earlier. If you have more responsibility earlier in life, it changes. But I think having a mortgage and having a business where I support 5 women's full-time salaries.
It's real shit.
And
it's
I real support life. Me and my husband while he gets his PhD. Like, and I just can't go out past, like, I want to have dinner at 6.
But you never did that
but
before.
Like, remember but your birthday? Option. Remember your birthday like 3 years ago? Like, I fucking blacked out. Like, I took an L that night. You know what I mean? Like,
I took an L.
I can't.
Oh, yeah. The karaoke.
Am I ever going to do that again? Probably not.
Well, we went to the friend.
Yeah.
And
I was
a
like,
night out.
Yeah. And that was like once a year.
Yeah. But we don't need to black out for you to like still have a
life. I'm just saying, I don't want to black out, but it's like,
I don't want to black out.
I don't want to black out. But when I went to your birthday, I wasn't, there was nothing.
Yeah. Like, there was responsibilities that you were like, oh, like I'm letting someone down if I black out in this moment.
It's just I wasn't thinking like, pace yourself so you feel good and make sure you drink water and eat. And like, I wasn't thinking about being responsible. I was just fucking I was just going out. You know what I mean?
Okay. Sure.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I think I think you are in a
I'm like gluten free, dairy free. I mean,
I don't think these are bad things.
I know. They're not. Because without them, we know who I am, and it's not great.
It's not great at all.
It's romanticizing that the grass is greener on the other side for 2 seconds. And it's just, I'm grieving. I think I'm grieving being a kid. I'm not a kid anymore.
I mean, sometimes self-care and being a responsible adult is not, it's not sexy. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. I remember watching this TikTok of this girl that was like, I had one of the most like informative, amazing years of my life, but it's not in the ways that you thought. I didn't go out every night. I had spreadsheets of my budgeting. I woke up every day and worked out. I didn't drink alcohol. Like all these things are not fun that you would think that when she said I had this amazing, fulfilling year, she's like, no. It was because of all these unsexy, like foundational habits that I set for myself that it then became this amazing year. So I see where you're coming from, but I think the position and the time in your life that you're in right now,
it's the best.
Is ideal.
It's who I was meant to be. You said that
for
to me on
sure.
text message. You're like, this is literally who you were meant to be. And it's okay to look back and realize that you'll never be the 18-year-old going out with your friends and having a day at the beach or at a restaurant and just not
caring about other responsibilities. Yeah. That's okay. All right, next. When do you feel most like yourself? Who are you with? What are you doing?
I'm working. Okay. I'm working or I'm journaling.
Yeah.
Like when I'm connected. So there's three main areas that I feel most myself. Mm-hmm. One, when I'm really connecting inward into a different realm, more spending time with my soul versus my ego, connecting to God, meditation, pausing, inner reflection. Those moments are really sacred for me. Two, when I'm in flow at work, whether it's on a podcast with you, whether it's in a meeting, whether I make a sale, whether I grow my business, like that's just hands down where I feel the most on fire in life. And then three, when I feel extremely connected to my husband in micro beautiful moments. I think those three are when I feel like my highest self.
I love that. I think mine are, yeah, when I'm reading and in a flow like state with that. Mm-hmm. Two is connecting with women. And I say that broadly because it's like, whether that's through interviewing on our podcast or connecting with other female entrepreneurs or connecting with the sisterhood on Geneva, like community mm-hmm. type things, like all of that feels really nourishing to me. And like I'm serving and I'm being like of service almost. And another one is like at a concert. Like I fucking thrive at a concert, at like a fun time. I feel most myself, inhibitions lowered, doing the thing, dancing with the, like shaking my little tuchus.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. If you could relive an iconic day in our relationship, what would it be?
Probably Tulum? Jonas Brothers concert. Yeah. When Roller Coaster came on.
Yes. I was blacked out though. So
yeah, you gave me a lap dance. And then that moment was really special. And then I don't think like there's not a moment in Tulum that I can think back on. I think it's just the general fact that you right. and I went there together for my birthday, that it was very much a special thing that we did, and that we've never taken like a major trip like that together.
Yeah, that was
such an amazing trip. I remember sitting at lunch and we all looked around at each other and we said, does anybody else have any thoughts in their brain right now?
Yeah, and we were like vacant, like we were just on bliss. We were peaceful
bliss.
It felt like we were in the clouds in heaven. Yeah. Like, it was insane.
It was amazing.
What about like things from our childhood? Any iconic moments stand out to you?
Iconic moments. Does any coming to mind for you? I mean, I think driving you to school when I got my license and listening to No Air, that song.
Sure,
tell me how.
Sure. No.
Sitting at the Panikin and getting chai lattes.
I would say also my birthday when we went to Malibu, where I blacked out again.
Oh, Nobu. Shit.
But that birthday weekend was so fun.
That was so wow. We I forgot that we rider. Did. I mean, I don't forget, but that was really special that you and I just went there. Yes. I paid for your Nobu.
You paid for my Nobu.
High roller.
I don't understand where that came from. But yeah, I was very grateful.
They didn't let us take the bottle of wine. We bought a bottle of wine, sisters. We drank half of it. And I'm literally like grabbing the bottle to walk out because I paid for it. And they're like, you can't take that.
And it was like an expensive bottle of wine. And also on the way back, we were like still hungry. So we went to get KFC. Like that's the thing about Nobu Malibu. Just like know that
no,
you're
going to.
No,
it wasn't KFC. It was KFC. No. It was like it wasn't Taco Bell. It was
It was
Taco Bell.
No. I know what it was. Jack in the Box.
It was Jack in the Box.
So if you know anything about Nobu Malibu, it's across the street.
We met a porn star.
We met a porn star on the beach.
We had brought our Coleman chairs. We did a lot in 24 hours.
The Coleman chairs. They still
you
need to sponsor the pod.
Slept in your makeup. I will never let you live that down.
Well, I was blackout drunk. If you don't remember,
also sisters, we don't like blackout all the time. By the
I know. I don't know why all these moments are when I was blackout, but what other? I know. I'm trying to think of like just. I mean, obviously, since the podcast, so many iconic moments, like all of our live shows and our that virtual show that we did. That was that's been a year. The
that's
virtual
crazy.
Show. Coachella, which I know that was not iconic
high point
for you.
Me.
Not iconic for you. Your wedding. Iconic. Iconic. Bachelorette party. Iconic. There's been many moments.
Yeah. I thought you meant like in our teenage and childhood years.
Yeah. I don't really remember that. So
I think I tried to push you out of a car once.
For sure. I think I tried to throw you up against the moving fan.
Oh.
I do remember something of that nature. You and your hair in a fan. I don't know why I'm having this. It's coming to me. It's like an intuition.
I mean, obviously the divorce is a major, not iconic.
Not but iconic, it was a major, I would say.
It was a major moment that I had to take care of you. I was going to say we came together, but we did not. I just had to take care of you because you shut down. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's like one thing that we haven't talked about on the podcast.
The divorce?
And I think it's because it's hard to talk about without divulging everybody else's stories. And I don't want to do that. But, you know, I think I was watching.
Tell our truths.
I was watching Ted Lasso.
Sure.
And the moment where him and his wife decided to divorce. Yeah. Something happened to me, Matt. I was sitting with Adam and I looked at their faces and I let out this like primal cry. My whole body was shaking and I started crying.
It reminded you of
Adam's like, what's wrong? And I said, I've seen what it looks like on people's faces when a marriage ends, and like I recognize that look. Like, it was so sad. I thought that I think we've done a lot of work around it, but to watch their marriage dissolve and to know I've watched a marriage dissolve was really hard.
So good acting on Jason Sudeikis' part.
God, I love Jason Sudeikis.
Wow. Oh, I do want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I guess we're not really strangers question. This is a Mads question.
Mm-hmm.
So as everyone knows, I said this as my current fixation a couple episodes ago. I've been loving the Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast, these two TikTokers that are just so silly. And she broke down this tier system that she has of crushes, of celebrity crushes. Okay. Tier three is like you just like have a crush on them. Whenever you watch them in a show, whatever, you're just like, oh, so cute. Like, love them. Maybe you'll like Google them after. Da, da, da. Tier two is like, you're really invested. You can't really stop thinking about them. Like, you maybe have Googled YouTube interviews about them, whatever.
Tier one is
your
hall pass.
Tier one is like, you're literally a stalker. Okay. And you know everything about this individual. You're on like the subreddits. You're like very involved. I want you to break down your tiers, even though you really don't have any celebrity crushes. So maybe I'll do this.
I mean, yeah, like I think I'm just a tier three person.
You're a tier three person.
Like I watch a movie and I'm like, oh my God, that guy's amazing. Okay, and then I forget about him 12 hours later.
Yeah, you're a tier three girl. Okay, so tier three, what do you got?
I mean, I guess the most I've ever gotten to is probably tier two, Chris Pratt.
Yes, you did. You did.
It was hard for me. He was in Jurassic Park. There was like a lot of emotions. Right. It was a lot of tying up for me.
What about Jeff Goldblum?
No. There is no like crush thing about that for me.
He's a tier three for me.
That's interesting. Who, I mean, I text you sometime, like, who, see, I can't, this is the problem, like, I don't have these things.
Yeah, you don't have these. Okay, let me do mine.
Like, I watch a movie, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that dude. But then, like, 10 hours later.
So Jason Sudeikis.
And I look him up, and I look him up. No, but I wasn't really, I love Jason Sudeikis.
What about Pete Davidson? What about Travis Barker?
See.
No.
Who am I obsessed with? Like I love them, like, they're great, but it's not a crush situation for me.
Not a crush. What about, like, Brad Pitt? Are you, like, that kind of girl? I'm not a Brad Pitt girl.
I'm not a Brad Pitt. I am a George Clooney.
Okay, Clooney.
I'm like a tier three George Clooney.
Okay. We're getting somewhere.
Who else?
Okay, let me do mine, please. Maybe it'll spark some inspo. Okay. Just kidding. We have completely different tastes. Tier three, we got Miles Teller.
Probably like Ben Wyatt. Like,
sure. For sure. Me too. For sure. For sure.
I love Ben Wyatt.
Andy Samberg.
You know what?
Like,
so there's guys that I'd be like, that's my type.
Sure.
Andy Samberg and Ben Wyatt, like, put my husband is both of those together.
Okay. Noah Centineo.
No.
Okay. I have some more, but then tier two, I just want to say is like John Krasinski, because he kind of like teeters.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other guy.
I get to the tier two when there's a romance that I'm watching where I'm obsessed with it. So like John Krasinski at one point was a tier two to me because I was so obsessed with Jim and Pam together.
Sure, sure, sure. Tier one, we all know. Bill Hader, Timothy Chalamet. I think that's like the two.
Bill Hader
reigns
supreme.
It reigns supreme.
How many times can we have this conversation? Like, you list the same people and I say, I don't know, like maybe Chris Pratt.
I liked this tier system. This was a nice Chris format.
Chris Pratt, though, I will say, is an outlier for me because mm-hmm. that is not my typical vibe.
I know.
It's because weird. He was in Jurassic Park, I think, and mm-hmm. I watched him on Parks and Rec for so long that once, I mean, come on, you put him on a fucking motorcycle with raptors with yeah. the Jurassic Park thing, like, it doesn't matter what dude is on there.
Tier three, Nicholas Braun from Succession. Yes, you do. Cousin Greg. And then Nick Jonas.
Cousin Greg? That guy's not cute.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The guy that's
What the fuck are you talking about?
That, like, says I have a job here and he doesn't have a job?
What the fuck are you talking about? Nicholas Braun is the hottest guy I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. That's insane. What about Kendall Roy? 100%.
He's tier one. I love Kendall Roy.
Tier one. Okay, great. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
This one doesn't really make sense. This is like a family pack, but I'll just say it. Do you think I ever snuck out of the house growing up? Why or why not?
No, at dad's house, because that's very difficult to sure. do because yeah. he lives in like the suburbs.
And you have to like drive.
You have to drive. But definitely at mom's, because you guys live in Coronado and you could just walk to your friends' houses. But you wouldn't yeah. need to. But the thing is you wouldn't need to sneak out.
I would just walk out.
You just walk out.
Yeah.
What about me? Do you think I've ever snuck out of the house?
I don't think so. I think it goes the same way.
I did it once.
Oh, actually, you did. You went to Mexico.
Okay, I've done it twice.
You went to Mexico one night without our parents knowing.
Mexico. I went to LA.
Oh, sorry. You went
to- okay, two times I snuck out.
You went to LA.
I told my parents, all of my parents, we all told that we were sleeping at Naomi's house. Mm-hmm. You know, my BFF Naomi today.
Yeah, BFF Nene.
We were in high school and we did not go to Naomi's. It was a Wednesday night. We drove up to LA. We partied for Halloween. And then we woke up at 4 a.m. and drove back to the San Diego Jewish Academy for school. The other time I was a freshman and I was at my friend's house and she had friends that went to the public school like next door. Oh. And we snuck out. Yeah, we just like snuck out and then we came back at like 4 a.m. and got in bed.
Mm. Yeah, can't relate. Okay. In what ways are you most like the people who raised you?
Whoa. Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
I mean, I'm very much like our mother in mannerisms, in the way I move, in the way I talk. It's pretty scary. I got her because she's a CEO of a company. I got her on podcast mads mm-hmm. and I was listening to her on a podcast and she said this one sentence and it's, you know, everyone on a podcast has their thing that they say.
Sure.
It's the fucking same.
As what?
I forget what it was. What happened? What?
Same like, as what?
She said something that I say. Like,
whoa.
A whole sentence, not just a phrase, like yeah. a whole sentence, and it freaked me out. So I'm a lot like my mom in creativity and taste. Mom and I have very similar taste.
All black, wearing clothes.
She's a little bit more embellished than I am. I'm a little bit more minimalistic than she is.
Embellished.
She's the only one that can truly shop for me.
Sure.
And like, I would wear everything.
You guys are obsessed with, what is it called?
Zadig and Voltaire.
There it is.
We,
I go into that store and it feels like, yeah, feels like Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah.
Feels like a girl trying to be an emo girl.
Okay. So mom and I are very similar in personalities. I think people.
Temperament.
Yeah. And then dad and I think are very similar. I think like not aggressive is the word I'm trying to find.
Hustle.
Yeah. Like in business, I think I get his, intensity.
Sure.
Cause he's really intense in that way. So yeah, I think I get my business intensity from dad, and I think I get my temperament from mom.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm unfortunately all dad.
You and mom are like
nothing.
Are you adopted? Mom at all.
Nothing. I look like both of them equally a little
bit. You've got mom's skin color.
Sure. White as a ghost.
I got dad's skin color.
Yeah, you're like an olive Middle Eastern goddess, and mm-hmm. I'm white and pasty as a ghost.
Yeah,
and
mom's pretty pale.
So yeah, my entire personality is my dad. If you met my dad, you'd be like, oh right, Right. That
I
makes
know. That's why you guys
he
clash
is like
sometimes.
We clash so much because we have the same loudness, zest for life, I would
my
like
way
to
or
say
the
it.
Highway.
My way or the highway, a little bit of the anger issues.
Stubbornness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But life
things.
Of the party.
Life
warm.
Of the party. Wants to drink all the time.
Entertain
yes,
all the stuff.
Entertain like everything. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely all of those things.
Do you see more mom in me, right?
Oh, you are literally
I've never asked
mom.
You. Really? You think so? Tell me why.
What do you mean? For all things I just said, you're
give me specifics.
You're much more quiet. You're introverted. You're like a nurturer. You're empathetic. Mm-hmm. You're like the older sister. You're like the mom. Like you're just that's who you are. Yeah. I'm just like this fucking nutball that our dad is.
It's pretty scary. I like when you see some videos of me or it's scary because I don't look at you and see dad. Right.
Right.
But people look at me my whole life and have been like, oh my God, I just saw your mom.
Right. Yeah. 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 I don't think people. And also I was joking when I said, unfortunately, my dad, it's funny though, because like we just have everything I hate about myself. I see it. I'm just like, fuck you for giving me all these traits.
Well, that's the same with mom. Mom's like a mentally ill, like sensitive person. I used to tell mom all the time. I'd be like, really? Like you had to give me this shit?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God, that's so
like
funny.
She's exhausted. Like I
she's
am.
Exhausted. Both- you guys are the most exhausted fucking chronic
fatigue
piece people.
We both get headaches.
Yeah, me and dad are like energetic energizer bunnies.
I used to tell mom all the time, like, fuck off with these physical genes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I definitely got the nose though. I got the Jewish nose.
Although according to that reel, people weren't sure. So
people,
this is the thing.
People said that we both have the Jewish
I
nose.
Have a big nose. It just doesn't have that bump.
You don't
at
have
the, top.
The Roman bump.
Yeah, and
that's then I recently
the
saw a reel that what's her name? Lady Gaga. Has the Roman nose.
Yeah,
okay.
I know that.
I didn't know that. All right. So now I'm liking my nose a little more.
Yeah. Good for you.
Anyways. Okay.
Are we more? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know. Maybe we should. Let me just hold on.
You know
what?
I just feel so
happy
podcasting with you in person. We are just going to be podcasting all week. And there's just something different when you and I are in the room together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called magic.
Oh, yes. It's electric. Okay.
It's
hold
electric.
On. I have a really. I want to just read through these to make sure which one is the best.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thanks for preparing.
Well, you know, we really dove deep into all these. These are great.
Well, what did you expect? Me to give you one word answers?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay, well, we know what does prioritizing your mental health look like.
Yeah,
in this
we
chapter.
Get that.
We
fucking
that. Know. We fucking know. Okay?
We know.
This one's interesting. How do you define family beyond just being related? Get specific. Are we gonna? We might do more of that next week with
our
spiritual. Okay, this one's a good one to end.
Okay.
What small step can you take towards your healing today?
One small step I can take towards my healing today. And I won't get into it, but I think the thing that's coming up.
I won't get into it.
Well, it's a bigger conversation that we can have at another time. To befriend shame, to not be afraid of shame. Shame is the lowest human emotion one can feel. It's the most uncomfortable. It's the most disgusting thing you can feel. And I have felt a lot of shame in my life, and I've pushed it to the side. And
no,
I am now
never works.
Yeah, I'm now uncovering why that shame exists. And I am one small step that I can take is to
confront it.
To decharge, to not judge shame and to like take away the charge so that I can feel it and move through it.
Amazing.
What about
you? As we always say, move through
the discomfort.
Sit in the discomfort.
You are safe in your emotions.
What
you resist persists.
Yes, there it is. What you reject.
I hate, like, whenever I'm in a mood, like earlier, like being upset that I'm an adult, I was like, what you resist persists. And it's the most true thing in the whole fucking world.
I know. What is one small step that I'm going to be taking towards my healing?
Tell me.
Honestly, it is very similar. So today I listened to, oh, actually, this is a great little small plug that I forgot to mention last episode. You know that I haven't shut the fuck up about my meditation app Open that I'm obsessed with. They reached out to us and gave the sisterhood a free month of meditations. Okay, so if you want to try their meditations, since I haven't shut the fuck up about it, you can use OK Sis. Sorry,
you can use the code
OK Sis. We'll put the link in the show notes as well for you to do. But I I highly, highly recommend, because there's something so magical about these meditations that they do. It feels so different than any other app I've used. Anyways, so I was listening this morning because I kind of had a little shame, a little something festering up in the heart space, you know?
It's called the heart chakra.
Oh, I'm going to call it the heart space. And then I was like, okay, let me put on a meditation, because usually if I feel this way, I'm like, okay, let me basically resist it and do something else and, what's it called? Ignore? No. What?
Deny.
No.
Resist. Stuff down.
Sure. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's on the tip of my tongue. Avoid it and try to like do something else to mask the feeling. And I was like, no, Mads, you know that this is not the way. You know that this doesn't work.
No.
So I put on a medication. I put on a meditation that was about Sunday scaries. Mm. And she was basically saying, like, you know, Sundays are for rest, relaxation, but also sometimes they can come up with this bit of Sunday scaries because your to-do list is so long, or like you're getting prepared for the week and it can feel overwhelming. So she was like, instead of pushing away those feelings, like, let's sit in it and not judge what that feels like, but just really be present with a Sunday scary moment. And it helped. Mm. It really relieved. You know, I sat in it and I just thought, like, oh yeah, like I have all these things to do. I'm in San Diego. I'm off my routine. Like I'm feeling a little overwhelmed about this. And just even like sitting with that and recognizing it, like just it lowered the intensity. It was a weird thing because you would think that that would be the opposite. Like it would overwhelm you even more. But confronting it and just being like, hey, whoa, there is a lot of shit going on. Great.
It's like the gym. Walking in the door is the hardest part.
Getting there is 50%. I say that to myself every time I go into a workout class. I'm like, I got here. That was 50% of the job.
Yeah.
You have to show up. Anyway, so that's really great, tangible, tactical tips that we are giving the sisterhood.
Yes, because the sisterhood deserves the best.
They deserve resources.
I love you guys so much.
I know.
Okay, sisters.
Thank you for letting us have this platform.
Yeah, thank you. These conversations.
And we're so excited to expand it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Beautiful stuff. So, sisters, if you liked this episode and you don't want these to go away, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/OKSisPodcast. The first bonus episode will be released a week from Monday. But we will definitely post my email to TJR in there so that you can get that firsthand.
I think that should be our first.
That's going to be the first post.
Yeah.
And then the mini recap Monday episode will be up next week. And then the following Thursday, so a week from this Thursday this week, will be our first real full bonus episode in Patreon. We love you so fucking much. And we'll see you in Geneva. We'll see you in Patreon. And we'll see you here next week.
Love you.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.